Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi or a brahmaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for ritualty, economic development, or sense of gratification of the senses. Even in household life, one should satisfy to maintain the body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor, according to place and time. By the grace of the Lord, one should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Purport. In human life, there are four principles to be fulfilled: dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, religion, ekadala development, sense gratification, and liberation. First one should be religious, observing religious rules and regulations, and then one must earn some money for maintenance of his family and satisfaction of his senses. The most important ceremony for sense gratification is marriage, because sexual intercourse is one of the principal necessities of the material body. Yam matityam manyutnyadi gramahidi sukam hi chuchusaham. Although sexual intercourse is not a very exalted requisite in life, both animals and men require some sense gratification because of material propensities. One should be satisfied with married life and not spend energy for extra sense gratification or sex life. As for economic development, the responsibility for this should be entrusted mainly to the Vaishyas and Grihasthas. Human society should be divided into Varnas and Ashrams: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. Economic development is necessary for Grihasthas. Brahmana Grihasthas should be satisfied with a life of Adayayana, Rayana, Yagya, and Yagya, being learned scholars, teaching others to be scholars, learning how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and also teaching others how to worship Lord Vishnu, or even the demigods. A Brahmana should do this without remuneration, but is allowed to accept charity from a person whom he teaches how to become a human being. As for the Kshatriyas, they are supposed to be the kings of the land, and the land should be distributed to the Vaishyas for agricultural activities, cow protection, and trade. Sudras must work. Sometimes they should engage in occupational duties as cloth manufacturers, weavers, blacksmiths, goldsmiths, brassmiths, and so on, or else they should engage in hard labor to produce food grains. These are the different occupational duties by which men should earn their livelihood. In this way, human society should be simple. At the present moment, however, everyone is engaged in technologically advancement, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as ugra karma, extremely severe endeavor. This ugra karma is the cause of agitation within the human mind. Men are engaging in many simple activities and being degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories, as well as nightclubs and other establishments for sense enjoyment. In this way, they are spoiling their lives. In all these activities, of course, householders are involved, and therefore it is advised here, with the use of the word api, that even though one is a householder, one should not engage himself in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. As for those who are not grihasthas, the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, they don't do anything but strive for advancement in spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification and should simply engage in advancement in Krishna consciousness. Only 1/4 of the population should be grihastha, and that should be according to the laws of restricted sense gratification. Grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of civilization is called Daivivavanashram. One of the objects of Krishna conscious movement is to establish this Daivivavanashram and not to encourage so-called Vanashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. So, now the first course, the first point Srila Prabhupada mentions is the four principles of human life: dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. Now, these are actually, material, because they're only temporary. Because when we leave our body, all these four principles will disappear, will go away. But this is there that they are called, technically called, they are called the four Purushottamas, four Purushottamatya. But there's a fifth one, which at the end of the purport, Prabhupada said we should try to endeavor for. And the fifth Purushottamata is Krishna Prem. And this is, because it's spiritual, this is what is the goal of life, of the human form of life should be. Now, this, of course, the householder, they have to maintain this. It's quite clearly mentioned here in the purport, so I can't really make any comment because I'm not qualified to make anything against the householders who are devotees, because I don't want to make any aparas, because there are many devotees in the grihastha ashrama that are very, very sincere and actually are on the way to becoming pure devotees. So I don't want to make any. So everything is in this purport. It's very clear that Prabhupada, he writes, it's very clear sometimes. So there's no need to, in one sense, to discuss these things. But now in English language, we say something, but then we use this small word that changes the context, this word but. So then, as I said earlier, that these four principles are actually, they're totally insignificant according to Krishna Prema. So in the Adalila 784, it says, Krishna Vasakya Premi Param Purushaha Yara Yagi Trani Trula Chari Purushaha Visosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and the highest goal, these appear as insignificant straw in the street. And then in Anjalila 20:37, now this is the words of Lord Caitanya himself written down by Krishna Das Kaviraj. Prema dan vina vayadha diridriya jivana dasa kari vetrena mora deha prema dan. Translation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's in brackets, without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. So even though householders, they have to work and they have to live outside, they have to maintain the family. But as it says, it should not be, should be simple and not much with not much over endeavor. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, he used to say, simplicity is Vaishnavism. To be a Vaishnav, one must be live a simple life. So to tell this, so it's a nice little story that happened in Orissa about 100 years ago. This is a true story. So one time, there was a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law going to a Bhagavatam Sapta in the next village where they were living. So then they went. So on the way, they had to cross a river to go to the village to hear the Bhagavatam. So they crossed the river. They heard the Bhagavatam from the speaker. And the speaker, he spoke on, I forget the Sanskrit, but he said, just chant the name of Hari, 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 and you will cross the ocean of material existence. So the daughter-in-law, with a simple heart, she accepted what the speaker said. Now the mother-in-law didn't accept it. I'll explain later. And so the session finished. So on the way back to the village where they were living, they had to cross that same river. Now this river was a tidal river. So when they were going toward the program, the water was only knee deep. So on the way back, because the tide had come in, the water was up to here, up to the, just below the nostrils, the mouth, sorry. And so the young lady, the daughter-in-law, she remembered the words of of the speaker, and she said, Hari, as she was crossing, she said, Hari, Hari, Hari. And she crossed that water very easily. But the mother-in-law, because she had doubt, her heart was crooked. She doubted the word of the speaker and the Bhagavatam. And she was, as she was crossing, she was in the process of drowning. And she shouted to her daughter-in-law, save me, save me. And the daughter-in-law replied back, said, just chant the name of Hari, 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 and you'll cross the ocean of material existence. What is this little river compared to the ocean of material existence? And the mother-in-law, she said, how dare you chastise me? I'm your mother-in-law, I'm your superior. So eventually the daughter-in-law went back in and saved the mother-in-law from drowning. But the point is that we hear the Bhagavatam with simplicity, not with any duplicity in our heart, then we will actually make advancement towards the goal of life, to the fifth Purushottama, the goal of the Krishna Prem. So this is a point of actually not just the Grasta Ashram, but every ashram. It's just the simplicity should be there. Now, so how do we get Prema Bhakti? How do we get it? First of all, we have to take shelter of somebody who's got it. So, for example, if I ask Sutapra Prabhu, give me £5, and in his pocket he's only got £2, so how can he give me £5? So he cannot give me £5. So you go to a person who can give you £5. So similarly, one who wants to develop this Krishna Prem, one has to take shelter of somebody who's got it. It's like, for instance, another example is that if I want a pair of shoes, I go to Watford High Street, go to some good shoe shop and buy the shoes. Do I go to PC World or do I go to Boots the Chemist? No, they can't supply. So you have to go to and take shelter of a person who's got it already. And then you serve that person. You surrender and you serve that person. What's the verse now? 8. Tapriti pratena parapashasena na upashena tujita tapatashana. You take shelter and serve and surrender to that person because he has seen the truth, because he's a tapadashini, he has seen the truth, and he will teach you the truth. He will show you the truth. So we have to take take shelter of a person who has Prema Bhakti already. Now, there's signs. So how do we see the sign or the lakshanas of the qualities of a person who has it? It's mentioned in the Chinchan Chajramita that the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. Now, there's one primary, the Acharyas mention that there's one primary one and the other 25 are secondary. So the primary one, I think it's 13, that a pure devotee is fully surrendered, is fully surrendered to Krishna. He has no doubt, whatever happens, he's surrendered, fully, completely surrendered to Krishna. But the question arises, are we fully, completely surrendered? Or is our surrender partial, conditional, or artificial. And then once we take shelter of that devotee who we can see, we examine his qualities, right? He has this primary quality that he's fully surrendered, and the other 25 will automatically follow. And so therefore we have to surrender to him, because we have to surrender to a living guru. Now, this was mentioned in class the other day by Govinda, I think it's Monday. We have to take shelter of a living guru, even though the acharyas, we can take shelter of the writings of, or lectures, or recorded lectures of the, or the books of Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and Deva Babushan, etc., from Bhakti Thakur. But we have to take shelter of a living pure devotee, because the principle of the parampara system is that the prema bhakti or pure devotee will explain to us what the acharyas mean. And if we don't, then we can, our mind can concoct and deviate, and we can do our own thing. We can just do our own thing and just become, you know, just misuse our independence and do some nonsense. Say it says, Rupa Goswami says this. Okay, but I don't know what it means, but let's do it. And then we concoct. But if we hear from a living, pure devotee, he will give the siddhanta, he will give the right conclusion of what Rupa Goswami has said or Vishnath Chakravarti has said. So we have to find and take shelter of a living, pure devotee. Otherwise, what is the point of Krishna establishing a new parampara system? Because as we know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the old one fell apart. So then through you, Arjuna, I will establish a new parampara through you. First I will speak to you the truth, and from there the parampara system will start again. So then we, now to establish, now it's interesting, now Prabhupada mentions here in the, about the Vanashram system here. Now as Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna establishes the Vanashram system. But as Lord Caitanya, in his conversation with that he actually doesn't accept the Vanashram system. He says it's actually materialistic. So therefore, he doesn't accept it. And also Prabhupada writes in his first, in his book, there's one book, it's not printed in ISKCON by the PPT. You can get it in Vrindavan, anybody who wants to read it. It's called In Search of Life's Ultimate Goal. It's a book written by Prabhupada when he was a sannyasi, and living in, when he took sannyas, he was living at the Radha-Damodar temple. And then he left there to go to preaching to the West. So therefore, so there, he left his manuscript in one trunk. And some years later, one of his godbrothers went to Prabhupada's room, found the trunk, He opened the trunk and he found this manuscript and he kept it. Kept it there. But, sorry, he kept the manuscript for himself. But then other devotees found out about this and encouraged him to get it printed. So in this book, Prabhupada writes that the Vanashram system is actually materialistic, and it also can lead to an impersonal or personal conception of Krishna. Now, of course, at the end, Prabhupada says we actually follow Daivivan Ashram. That means all the ashrams basically are working together, engaging the energy to become Krishna conscious. And so we see actually in the history of our movement that in the early days, especially in the London Yatra, all the preaching was done by householders, especially we know three groups of householders that came from Canada, and to please Prabhupada, they came to London. They suffered so much, they tolerated so many austerities, living in lofts. But eventually, as a result of their preaching, we have these places as we have now, Nirvanasamana. And, of course, later came, Soho Street Temple and other temples in the UK due to the preaching of the householders. So we shouldn't condemn the householders as much, even though, everybody is born with many faults. I'm born with many faults. I'm drowning in the ocean of faults myself, so I cannot criticize anybody. But the point is that this Daivivan Ashram system means that we should, all the four ashrams and varnas, they should actually engage in preaching in some form or the other to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's like the Vaishyas, they do cow protection, which is preaching in itself, and like that, and some may become weavers, blacksmiths, goldsmiths, and so on. But also, it says also in the purport here that even Prabhupada says anyone who is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Ugra Karma, extremely severe endeavor. But if it's, of course, nowadays we're living in a technical age where, got laptops, and now you've got notebooks, now you've got this Kindle machine, this Kindle, and you have so many, things like this, electronical stuff. But if it's engaged in Krishna's service, it can actually help one spread Krishna consciousness very easy by sending, you can watch Mangalati in Mayapur if one's awake and about 11 o'clock at night. If one cannot sleep, just switch on to Mayapur TV, or click onto Mayapur TV and watch Mangalati there, and get Darshana Radha Madhava in his Chandan Yatra. Now Mayapur now is the Chandan Yatra, and all you can So these things can be engaged in Krishna service. We don't have to, you know, spend a ticket to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur. We just have to click onto Mayapur TV, get darshan of Mangalati at Vrindavan, Mayapur, Ujjain, Juhu Beach, and so on, and hear classes from Mayapur, hear the seminars from Mayapur, and so, to join the Gopaning Festival. And so this is not Ugra Karma. It's only Ugra Karma if it's engaged for sense gratification. And this is what, in the beginning, our Sridhar Maharaj, he actually faced difficulties when he tried to introduce technology into spreading Krishna consciousness. Some of his god brothers said, no, you shouldn't do doing this. But eventually, they eventually came around and said, yes, we can use this technology in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is a very deep ocean. It's a very deep ocean. And for those who are serious, one should dive deep into this ocean. And go deeper and deeper until we come to the last limit of bhakti. The last limit of bhakti, of course, is the deepest and highest. That's the Mahabhav of Radharani, Radhabhav, which Lord Chaitanya came to give. That was his mission. Lord Chaitanya's mission was to come and freely distribute Radharani's Mahabhav to the person, to the living entities who are conditioned suffering in this material world. And he was freely giving. Anybody is qualified as long as they're not humble. If they're not humble and proud, there's one verse in the Tejantamri that Lord Titania, he came to give freely, but those who are proud of their material wealth, material knowledge, and birth, they will not get. In fact, Avaitacharya at Shantipur, after he fed Lord Titania, Lord Nityananda, and Haridas Thakur was there at the time as well. Lord Titania said to Avaitacharya, please give me, he said to Avaitacharya, I'll give you one boon, whatever you like. Then Avaitacharya said, I wish that your Krishna Prem, your love of Godhead, to the whole freely. But to those who are proud of their material wealth, material position, so on like this, material knowledge, please do not give. So if we really desire Krishna Prema, we have to So we have to be, to get this Krishna prema, we have to be greedy for Krishna. So it says in Sri Rupa Goswami's Pajavalati 4.14.1, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavavit Mati Krityam Yabhi Koto Api Labhyate Tata Lobhyam Api Molam Ekalam Jama Koti Sakriti Na Labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had by even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, intense greed to attain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So this is what the Rupa Goswami, who is the Rasa Acharya, is saying. So we do this by following in the footsteps of Lord Caitanya and his immediate followers, disciples, the six Goswamis, and from there the parampara, which now Lord Caitanya is not just giving. Now Lord Caitanya has come. He came to give Goloka Prema Dhamma, Prema Dhan, Harinam Sankirtan. So this is what his mission. But in Krishna Leela, he could not fulfill these free greeds or free desires. He could not fulfill them. He was asking when he was in Krishna is called Lila Purushottam. Gaura is Prema Purushottama. And so there, Krishna in Krishna Leela, and Krishna Leela includes Mathura and Dwarka and of course Vrindavan. So he could not fulfill these three desires. So therefore he appeared as Lord Caitanya in the mood of Radharani and the complexion of Radharani. Now, the question is, why did Lord Caitanya appear in a golden complexion? He didn't have to appear in the mood. He appeared in the mood of Radharani, but he didn't have to appear in the complexion. Because Krishna, he could have stayed blackish color. But molten gold is the color of Mahabhav. So this is why he appeared in a golden complexion. And also, as Lord Caitanya, he fulfilled his desires. He actually fulfilled his three desires as Krishna. So therefore, it says in the Navadvipa Mahatma, when Jiva Goswami was being taken around on Parakram by Lord Nityananda, and on the first day, I think it's the first day, they go to the house, or they go to the Jamasthan, the yoga pit there, and Lord Nityananda tells Jiva Goswami that the pastimes of Lord Caitanya are higher than the pastimes of Krishna. They're higher. Now, this is because it's explained by the acharyas that the principle of the green mango and the ripe mango. So when Krishna had these three desires, that is compared to the green mango. They were not fulfilled. But as Lord Caitanya, they were fulfilled and he became the ripe man. That is compared to the ripe mango. So Lord Caitanya, this is what he has come to give, and this is what we should be, should endeavor to preach, the glories of Lord Caitanya. And because without going through Lord Caitanya, who is very merciful, and Lord Nityananda, he's even more merciful than Lord Caitanya, and also by the mercy of Vaidyacharya, because he called down Lord Caitanya by worshipping his Damodar Shila, which you can see at Shantipur, and 108 Tulsidis every day. And he was shouting at the top of his voice, "If my name is not Advaita, then I will call the Lord down. If not, my name is not Advaitacharya." So also that's another reason for Lord Caitanya's appearance, the mercy of Advaitacharya. So this is the purpose of cross mission, to preach Krishna consciousness through Harinam Sankirtan. Not ordinary Sankirtan, but Prema Sankirtan, which Lord Caitanya, because it's mentioned in the Chan Chan Rita again, the pastime of Lord Caitanya having kirtan is at Srivasangam behind closed doors for 1 year. Now in the purport it is said that Prabhupada writes that it was closed for 1 year to stop the people making fun of the kirtan, the basundis. They could not enter. It's only Prabhupada writes, only the bona fide chanters could enter the pastime of Lord Caitanya. Now, what is a bona fide chanter? A bona fide chanter, to enter the kirtan of Lord Caitanya at Srivasangam, was he had Krishna prema, he had love of God. But in the same purport, Prabhupada says, but to bring people, the people to Krishna consciousness, we open our doors. We open our doors for anybody to come and chant Hare Krishna. So this is the, so in those days, the courtyard of Srivasangam. So, and there's a very good show, the pastimes of Lord Caitanya, very deep, that we know that one time one brahmachari was there. Very strict brahmachari. Never passed semen, just drinking milk, a little bit of fruit maybe. And he desired to see and hear Lord Caitanya's kirtan. So then he approached, Srivast Thakur, said, "Okay, you hide in this corner here. Cover yourself, you hide." So Lord Caitanya can't notice you. So then, before Lord Caitanya came for the evening kirtan, this very strict brahmachari came, and he hid. And then Lord Caitanya came, he's tried to dance in ecstasy, but he stopped, he said, "I don't feel so much ecstasy tonight, I don't feel it. Is there someone here that shouldn't be here?" Then Srivast Thakur said, "There's no one here, no one." He said, "There's someone here that shouldn't be here," Lord Caitanya said. "Oh yeah, this is brahmachari, hiding away, hiding in the cover there, behind something," he said. "Chuck him out, get him out. But then Srivast Thakur, he said, "But he's a brahmachari, hasn't passed semen, very strict, follows Akadashi, Niyajal, 64 rounds a day, just drinking milk. But that may be very good, but he has no bhakti. He has no bhakti at all. And one thing I noticed reading this pastime is that all the other associates of Lord Caitanya in that kirtan, they were all householders. They weren't brahmacharis, they're all householders. So then this shows that, you know, householders, they can, they can come to that level. But to enter Lord Caitanya's eternal pastimes, one has to come to the level of Krishna Prema. And that, for that, we just have to have the intense desire, the greed for it, and the super soul in the heart, Krishna in the heart. We'll see if we're sincere, if it's just from the lips, and the heart is different. We may say many things from the lips, but then the heart is different. The heart is duplicit. So, but the lips may say something, but the heart is saying something else. So we just have to have the greed for it and get the mercy of that pure Vaishnava and get his association. So I'll stop there.